This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
You're listening to Bill Martinez Live.
Judge Napolitano joins us. Judge, there's something going on at the in the Department of Justice and also at the at the FBI and at the White House. They're looking for two people, aren't they?
There's a lot of moving parts. As we speak, or maybe a little later in the morning, Attorney General Sessions and Deputy Attorney General Rosenstein are interviewing people for an interim director. Andrew McCabe, who is the present interim director by virtue of being the number one assistant to James Comey, is the acting interim. He probably will not be the actual interim. Why do we need an interim?
Mm-hmm.
Because if you listen to Chuck Schumer and company, it's going to take a while to confirm the nomination of the permanent director. So while the White House looks for a permanent director, and they've not yet started to interview as far as I can tell, the Justice Department is looking for an interim. They don't need Senate confirmation for the interim. They could hire that person this afternoon.
Sure.
They're not publicly known, but they're all insiders with vast federal law enforcement experience.
See, now that makes sense because the list we've seen of the people who may be next, nobody's heard of any of them, whereas the other list where maybe it's going to be Chris Christie, maybe it's going to be Rudy, maybe it's... These are the four right here who are up for interim director.
Correct. This decision will be made on experience and chemistry. Chemistry with Jeff Sessions, who's new to the Justice Department, and chemistry with the rank and file. Because even though Comey had a lot of fans in the DOJ, in the FBI, he had a lot of people who really disliked him because of the Hillary matter.
And the way it unfolded, and that was cited as one of the main reasons why he doesn't have a job anymore. But, Judge, since you only need 51 votes, thanks to Harry Reid, in the Senate, why do you think it's going to be a slow process? Just put it on the board, have a few days of hearings, and confirm it.
Well, I hope it's not a slow process, but the Democrats are very, very, very well organized in their opposition to the firing of Comey, and I think they're going to drag this out, and we're going to see hearings, not unlike hearings for a Supreme Court justice, where they ask many, many questions and try to get many, many concessions out of the person. Just the feeling I get from the ferocity with which Chuck Schumer and company and the uniformity with which the Democrats, particularly in the Senate, reacted to the Comey firing.
What's your reaction to all the hypocrisy? You know, the Democrats, they didn't like Comey, now they do. They didn't, they liked the Ronstein guy, now
they
don't. You know,
Churchill once said, there are no lasting enemies, there are no lasting friendships, there are only lasting interests. So when it's in your interest to like Comey, you like him. When it's in your interest not to like Comey, you don't like him. He was a lightning rod of a figure, and he had a lot of friends and a lot of enemies and very little ground. And sometimes the friends and the enemies switch.
Right, and he did write a letter, and he put it out to the FBI folks, and he said, don't worry about me, I'll be fine. The president, if he wants to fire me, he can fire me.
He's right. The president, under the law, can fire for any reason or no reason, and he doesn't have to give a reason.
Right. Judge, thank you.
Okay.
Good to see you. By the way, he was invited to testify, James Comey, on Tuesday. We'll see if he does show up.
It would be quite a mob scene if he does.
Absolutely. He's used
to
it.
You're listening to Bill Martinez Live.
And now to a Fox Business alert for you this morning. Obamacare officially on life support. Aetna now fully pulling out of the exchanges by 2018.
Cheryl Cassone from our sister network Fox Business here now with what this means for you. Cheryl, this is something.
It really is. Good morning, guys. And another sign of what truly happened to Obamacare. You know, health insurer Aetna is pulling out from the Obamacare exchanges completely next year. The company confirming it would no longer serve the states of Delaware and Nebraska, in addition to the exit from Iowa and the exit from Virginia that was previously announced by Aetna. They also said that individual plans are projected to lose more than $200 million this year, a financial hit the company seems no longer willing to absorb. Last year, the insurer operating in 15 states with losses of $450 million. In a statement, Health and Human Services Secretary Tom Price said, quote, Aetna's decision to completely withdraw from the Obamacare exchanges adds to the mountain of evidence that Obamacare has failed the American people. Repealing and replacing replacing it with patient-centered solutions that stabilize the marketplace to bring down costs and increase choices is the only solution. We should also add that according to the Kaiser Family Foundation, there are other options in states where Aetna still operates. Anthem, Cigna, and Molina Healthcare are in the states. Once again, that Aetna is now saying that they're going to leave. Companies say that those companies, though, say they're considering pulling back from the exchanges. For now, they're likely to ask for steep rate increases from plan customers. So it's there's still a ripple effect going on.
You wonder who's left, which insurance companies are left.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Cheryl.
Hi, this is Dr. Joel Wallach, the mineral doctor. You've heard me talk about 90 for life for years. 60 minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, 2 fatty acids. You may not know this, that I've actually designed Arthrodex for animals. That's right. Your pets need 90 for life, too. Get this essential pet product by calling 877-279-9422. That's 877-279-9422. Again, 877-279-9422.
Are you living your passion? Are you pumped to go to work because you get to talk about or work with or do the things that interest you the most? Is working, playing, and relaxing one and the same? As long as you're working for someone else, you'll never be living entirely true to yourself and your passion. I'm Pharmacist Keith. Let me show you how you can work around your current schedule, create the extra income so you can live your passion. Visit radio.recordedvideo.com. That's radio.recordedvideo.com. radio.recordedvideo.com.
Getting America back on track. Bill Martinez live.
I mean, what it all comes down to, ladies and gentlemen, is it worth it to you? Do you really want to get America back on track? Or somehow you just think we can just bumble along, waste all this money and resources and turn over a very dysfunctional America to the next generation? I don't know if that bothers you. That bothers me. And, you know, the writing clearly is on the wall. And, you know, we've got protesters protesting for God only knows what. I'm not even sure they even know what they're protesting about. It's almost like, hey, there's a line here. There's a line. Let's all get behind it and everything like that. Hey, don't forget to bring your black outfit, okay? Because, black, I guess black's the new blue, and it's fun to wear black, I guess. And, I don't know. But, I just think it's such a waste when we can get this country back on track and do a lot of great things. I mean, a lot of dreams are in the waiting here. And, and I'm looking forward to where those dreams are realized, that we are all blessed as a result and everybody else for that matter, because there's nothing like being productive to make you happy and fulfilled. And I think this country is way past due and ready for that. John Ponce is with us. It's good to have John back. Security military expert, West Point graduate. We have so much to talk about, John Ponce, that I really appreciate you coming back with us. John has experienced, just many years of experience as an executive with more than, in terms of strategic and operational business management experience in the international security and technology industries. John, good to have you back. How you doing?
Great. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it. It's great to be here.
Well, the budget just came through. It was something that this particular Congress was not supposed to have a shot at. But in typical form and fashion, which people are forgetting, the Obama administration and the Democrats couldn't close it off last year. So then we had to deal with it this year. There was some increase in the military budget. So it wasn't all a bust for Republicans. But, I think the Republicans really mishandled. I mean, who is managing their public relations and crisis management? Because it just seems the Democrats who lost look like winners, and the Republicans who won look like losers.
Well, it reminds me of the adage in business. There are a lot of companies that do absolutely great work and make great products and services, and the truth is they don't market very well. The Mercury Mercury was a great car, but it was very poorly marketed. The Beta was a better system than VHS, but it was very poorly marketed. Well, the Republicans are doing great things out there. And frankly, the more they get behind one solution with responsible debate, the better off I think we're all going to be. But the truth of it is they market themselves horrendously badly.
Right.
I think that's awesome.
John, do you think that the president really needs to exercise his bully pulpit? I mean, we saw what happened last weekend. He goes out and meets with the people, 7,000 people, as opposed to the correspondence dinner, which was an absolute embarrassment as far as I was concerned. And I thought he was much more constructive. And I think that he needs to stay out of D.C. I know it's going to drive some of those people nuts because they're upset because he keeps going to Mar-a-Lago all the time. But big whoop. I mean, you know, but he needs to take the message on the road and excite the people to put the pressure back on Congress and maybe help kind of bring Republicans who are a little squishy and have a lack of intestinal fortitude to get behind some of these issues. Because to your point, they're so bifurcated. There's such a breakdown in unity that what I see is the Republicans can learn a lot from the Democrats. I mean, all the Democrats may not agree with the deal, but as far as what comes out of their mouth, there is a party line and they hold to it. And this is why the Democrats end up taking advantage of the Republicans, I see.
Well, I couldn't agree with you more. I think President Trump, and I'm certainly not his advisor, but I think he showed us something in his campaign, which I pray to God he doesn't forget. Mm-hmm. That's that he really does understand the pulse of the American people.
Exactly.
He really does have a line on what exactly is going on and what the American people want and how to reach them to the point where he knocked off the, you know, seemingly unknock-offable Hillary Clinton in the election. And mm-hmm. now he's stuck in Washington. He's got people screaming at him from every angle, every press question involved. Well, how are you going to fix this? What are you doing with this? Why hasn't this happened yet? You know, to the point where he gets too busy putting out short-term fires and answering questions on the short term, and instead of building the future for us, which I think he is steadily doing. I mean, I get all his tweets, and
right.
frankly, there's a remarkable amount of work being done in every place in the government, in every single fashion of what he's promised. I think he's the only promise that I know of that he's absolutely not pursuing was prosecuting Hillary Clinton, and frankly, I think that would have been a rat hole that he didn't want to go down anyway. So
exactly, yeah.
I think getting out of Washington and taking it straight back to the people, to the backbone of his victory in 2016 is exactly where he needs to be.
Yeah, I think it would serve everyone well, him as well as even the other Republican congressmen. Because they need some encouragement. They need some courage. You know, that's what I mean. Because it's like, guys, they're not willing to fall on their sword for anything here, John. I'm not even sure what they believe in.
Yeah, this is what scares me. I'm watching right now the Secretary of the Army, the nominee Dr. Mark Green, who I have known for 35 years. We've roomed together in the officer basic course, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
He is as solid and strong and morally upright of a guy you will ever meet. And there is no prejudice in him. There's no anything in him. And the LGBT community is absolutely trying to castigate him and say that he hates homosexuals and he hates transgender and he hates all that kind of thing, which nothing could be further from the truth. To me, this is just, frankly, another form of racism.
Exactly.
This guy has solid beliefs that he believes. There's no two ways about it. Whatever you think about homosexuality, the truth of it is the Bible does say some very strong things against it, and that's all he's ever said is that the Bible says some very strong things against it. And the truth is he's never done any prejudice against them, but he's being thrown back to the wolves and asked to withdraw his nomination because that community believes that he's prejudiced against them for pointing out something as simple as this is what the dictionary says.
Right,
so
exactly.
It's horrifying to me.
Yeah, without a doubt.
You're not going to find a better nominee, and it's just watching people throwing missiles from the cheap seats and clearly having an agenda that is, in my opinion, is evil and unfounded as they come.
And look at the voice that's given, John, along the way. As you say, we're losing out on good people that want to provide service. And because, they have enough integrity to say, this is what I believe in. And until, you know, I get different evidence, this is what I'm going to hold to because, I believe that God really did say. And so then that makes the problem because, you don't want to go along with their deception.
Absolutely right. I mean, this is the guy who wrote the book on Saddam Hussein. He He interviewed him the night he was captured, wrote a book about it, My Night with Saddam. He's been a lifetime of service. He's done everything for the state of Tennessee. That he was their nominee for governor going up for the Republican side next year, next election. And now they're trying to take a quote from the past and saying, how can you say we can't have Islamophobia? That's a horrifying thing, but we can have Christianophobia.
Well, that's the deal. You've got the weaponization of, thought and certain language that's happening in our country. But if we don't take a stand, then what's going to happen? I mean, what's the next generation going to be faced with, John Ponce? John Ponce is with us. We've got more from John on the other side of the break. Stay with us, America, just about 15 after the top of the hour.
In these uncertain times, it makes sense to have a sustainable backup method to cook food and boil water. If your current plan includes using a fuel-burning stove or cooking over an open fire, then there's a much better way. The Minuteman Rocket Stove is a biomass-burning cooking stove that only requires small quantities of sticks and twigs for fuel. The Minuteman Stove is easy to use, smokeless, portable, powerful, and sustainable. For the finest in survival cooking stoves and fire starters made right here in the USA, go to MinutemanStove.com. That's MinutemanStove.com.
Hi, John here again. After another month of being on several supplements from Synergistic Nutrition, including Synergy One, the Andreas Black Cumin Seed Oil, and other supplements, I've lost another 10 pounds for a total of 20 pounds. My belt size has been reduced by 1 3/4 inches. My knees don't ache as much anymore, and I'm walking my dogs twice as long as I did a month ago. I sleep very well and have a lot more energy. I noticed that when I cut myself accidentally, that I was bleeding much more profusely and that the blood was bright red. Previously, I didn't bleed much at all. It was dark red in color. So I know this protocol is working to keep my blood healthy. Additionally, I now have the energy to do calisthenics several times a week in addition to the extra walking. My hunger has been reduced a lot. I take 2 shakes a day along with each meal.
Call Synergistic Nutrition at 888-988-3325 or visit sacredseedoils.com. That's sacredseedoils.com.
The answer to being in control of your own healthcare is freedom from insurance. Become part of a group of self-pay patients that come together to share in each other's medical expenses. Individual share amounts begin at $107 a month and $347 for families. Choose from 3 health sharing programs. Holistic treatments may be eligible for sharing. See guidelines. Discount programs available for dental, vision, and pharmacy. Go to libertyoncall.org. That's libertyoncall.org.
Hunters, anglers, campers, and survivalists, get back to nature. Expand your horizons with the highest quality, most versatile, unique slingshots and slingbows on the market at slingbow.com. Slingbow products are compact and models start from just $17.98. They're perfect for your bug out bag or storing in your vehicle. Give yourself and your loved ones the excitement and tradition of slingbow, a new frontier in archery and truly modern twist on this primitive survival tool. Feel the thrill only at slingbow.com.
Message and data rates may apply.
When did American men get so soft? Today's average red-blooded American man has less testosterone than his father, and his father has less testosterone than his father. Before we turn into a country of powder puffs, Force Factor is launching the Man Up America event. We want to send every man in America a complimentary bottle of the breakout supplement taking GNC by storm. Test X180 Ignite, loaded with free testosterone-boosting manliness. Get your complimentary bottle by texting ACTIVE55 to 369-369. During work workouts, Test X180 Ignite raises levels of free testosterone in your body to help build lean muscle. Plus, it helps burn fat, fuel sexual desire, and improve performance. Now you can continue to feel like the real men that made this country great. Do yourself a favor. Do America a favor. Text ACTIVE55 to 369-369 for your complimentary bottle. That's a complimentary bottle by texting ACTIVE55 to 369-369.
Anytime, any place, anywhere. Radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Great day here at Bill Martinez Live. What more could you want?
Hey, coming at you fresh every day, Monday through Friday, 9 to noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific. Welcome back, America. 19 after the top of the hour. I'm Bill Martinez. John Ponce is with us, security military expert, West Point graduate, experienced and accomplished executive with decades of strategic and operational business management experience in the international security and technology industries, currently chief executive and chief quality officer of the Densis Group, an organization which combines diverse international experience with robust academic knowledge to provide solutions for security, technology, and energy. John, before we open up the next subject of North Korea, I did want to kind of summarize and wrap up what you had touched on earlier, and that is that Donald Trump understands Main Street America. He resonates. And I believe that even in spite of some of the difficulties within, the Republican Party and even with the Democrats and what's going on in the Beltway, Donald Trump seems to be the only voice that's championing the cause of the people, isn't he?
Well, that certainly is where it appears from our end. To my knowledge, I haven't heard anyone else step up and put up forth the kind of vision that President Trump has, and it resonates with people. It hits them right in their checkbook. It hits them right in their family values. It hits them right in the things they believe. Mm-hmm. And to overcome that kind of strength in leadership by other Republicans, or to try to make a dissident voice sounding out in the desert, seems to me counterproductive for everything we've been trying to achieve for a long time. So,
well, without a doubt, I mean, he casts a vision like with tax reform. I mean, could you imagine, you know, here we got President John Kennedy saying, we need to go to the moon. And right. Could you imagine if all the media attacked John Kennedy the way they did Donald Trump and going, well, what are you going to do? What kind of bolts are you going to use? What kind of fuel are you going to use? How are you going to make all this stuff? Wait a minute, I just cast a vision. I didn't give you all the particulars. That's up for us to come together to make this work, right? Don't you agree this would be a grand vision if America went to the moon? And he cast a vision. And this is like Donald Trump doing the same thing, saying, hey, tax reforms, does this sound like a good idea? We haven't done this in 30, 40 years. And I think we can come up with a good plan, simplify this, and be all the better for it. What do you think? And no, the media's got to, you know, tear it apart and start asking questions. I mean, Steve Mnuchin and Gary Cohn, I thought they did an incredible job talking to the media, but some of the questions they were asking was like, do you guys understand what this is all about here? I mean, you're a journalist, and you're asking these goofy questions. This is not the time to ask about the particulars the way you're asking, because they're not the ones that set legislation. That is done in the legislature, not from two advisors from the president, right?
Well, what shocks me, it shouldn't shock me, but it still does, and I don't know when I'm going to learn not to be bothered by things like this, but the truth of it is, if you look at Kennedy's we choose to go to the moon and do the other things in this decade, not because they are easy, but because they are hard. The inspiration that he put out there to do something that, frankly, the series From the Earth to the Moon is about the best television I've ever watched. And as you see this vision laid out in front of the American people, it wasn't at that time the press was not trying to take a cynical, cut this down to pieces view. They were trying to be constructive, push in a positive direction, do those kinds of things.
Right.
But now, you're right, President Trump puts forth something as fundamentally important as tax reform, where all of us are getting bitten by the ridiculous codes and the intricacies of things that none of us can understand unless we spend years studying it alone. He's left out the pasture, because right. The truth of it is, he says wonderful things, and we all should be inspired by them and say, hey, we've been looking for this for a long time, but the press feels it's their job to tear down this president, not to put the kind of foundation in place and ramparts in place and inspiration in place to let us all get behind him. So it's clear they have an agenda. It's clear that it's an agenda that's trying to destroy a presidential vision. And frankly, like I said, I don't know why I'm still surprised every time I see it and just shake my head and go, how can they clearly see something so positive for the United States and try and tear it down just because they don't like the person delivering the message?
Well, and they're getting nuts because real numbers are showing, John, to your point, the aspiration of everyday Americans, you know, opening up more small business than ever. Every bank I speak with, Bank of America, Wells Fargo, right on down the line, they all say we've got more small business activity than we've had in the last 10 years.
Absolutely.
What does that tell you right there?
That tells you that people are putting money back in the American economy again because they believe we've got a leader at the helm who's going to take it in a positive direction and take the economy in a place where we want to go. It tells us that 10 years of the malaise of regulations and everything else that made it incredibly difficult to start a business or to fund a business or to move forward with a small business and make them to a much bigger business is hopefully getting behind us because we've got a leader in town in Washington who says, you know, the regulations aren't the most important thing. We're going to do things like open up pipelines and open up business opportunities and cut corporate taxes that'll be positive for the American economy.
Every day when the president meets with Steve Mnuchin and Gary Cohn, he says, how are we doing with jobs? How are we doing with the economy? Two questions he asks every day. Well, what does that tell you about a leader, John Ponce, when you're focused on that and you're bringing the white men or the right men to the problem and you're asking them every day? I mean, you know about leadership. You know what that translates into. I mean, if that is your focus and your trajectory, guess what? You start attaining some exciting goals here.
No question. They teach you in the military that you can't fake care for the soldier. You can't. Mm-hmm. If you guys are out in the field for weeks at a time and you're going back and taking meetings and every time you smell fresh from a shower or you're carrying a donut or something like that, they're going to look at it and say, this guy's not one of us. He's not leading us. I would say the vast majority of the tweets that I see seem to be about either the economy or jobs. And frankly, the more I see it, the more I believe this guy's got the middleman who's trying to make a living, who's trying to support his family, who's trying to have a productive job that he feels proud of.
Exactly.
He's making it happen for him.
Well, let's talk North Korea. This deal has just got into a situation to where, you got USA Today saying, you know, we're on the brink of World War III. China now is urging its citizens to return home. We had a test firing of a ballistic missile test from Vandenberg Air Force Base in California. A lot of saber rattling here. What do you think, John?
I think it's an incredibly volatile situation. I'm going to say something here that's incredibly disrespectful, but the truth of it is I kind of have always viewed the president of North Korea as being Marvin the Martian. You know, I'm going to blow up the Earth because it's obstructing my view of Venus, to use the cartoon reference. We had Nikki Haley say this is not a rational person. The truth of it is we're doing everything we can on our end, trying to deploy the THAAD missile system, which bridges the gap between the Aegis space system and the Patriot systems on the ground level, and intercepts anything coming in by basically hurling a rock at it, a 2,000-pound, 18-foot-long rock that has no missile on it but blows it up in the midair, whereas they're trying to deploy these Taipodong 2 missiles that have a 10,000-kilometer reach, which is the west coast of the United States, give or take a couple miles. Mm-hmm. And the truth of it is both sides are trying to say, well, we need to deploy this for defense, or we need to deploy this to defend you. And frankly, everybody knows that North Korea is putting forth an offensive weapon in this thing. China has said, well, the U.S. is trying to, you know, put more armaments into South Korea, and we don't want that. And they're trying to avoid the dirty work of sanctions. And we're saying, well, you're trying to avoid the dirty work of a regime change. And frankly, I'm not 100% convinced that China has the ability to effect a regime change in North Korea. To me, they're like the last years under Yasser Arafat. Well, yeah. Can anybody take Kim Jong-un and get rid of him outside the country? Absolutely not. I don't think so. So right. China has some influence, and they can make the sanctions more brutal and more difficult and all that kind of stuff, but I'm not 100% convinced that they can stop this guy. So frankly, we've got the point where we've got a guy who now has missiles that can reach the United States, hasn't been successful in all his launches. He certainly has said his goal in 2017 is to do a long-range missile launch and be successful at it, and he wants to use a nuclear weapon on it. This last time this happened, I think, was in 1964 when China did it and flew over populated areas. Well, if this guy's doing the same thing that hasn't been done by anybody but China for 53 years or whatever the right number is, we got a problem. This is the guy we need to be dealing with.
Well, and does Korea care if they get less product, really? I mean, this is an austere country. You know, how far are they willing to go?
Well, that's a great question. If you remember when West Germany took over East Germany, You know, we found that all the petroleum oil and lubricants were non-existent, that all the tanks were kind of paper tigers, that nothing really worked,
exactly.
And our economy was so bad that West Germany was actually kind of crippled by taking over East Germany. Well,
John, we got to leave it right there. I'm sorry. We're out of time. John Ponce, I'm Bill Martinez live. Always, John. Appreciate it.
Hey there. Did you know that with a bachelor's degree, on average, you could make almost twice as much over a lifetime than a person with just a high school diploma? It's true. According to the 2012 U.S. Census Bureau, college grads with a bachelor's degree make almost twice as much as high school grads. Now, going back to school is easier than ever at Independence University. Log on and complete coursework from the park, or the beach, or even your couch watching the kids. And Independence University gives you the tools, a free tablet and laptop for undergrad students to use and keep when they graduate. That's right. Get a laptop so you can go to college from anywhere. Take the first step to a new career in business, information technology, healthcare, or graphic arts. Call to find the online degree program that's right for you, and you could be on your way to increasing your earning potential.
800-981-9347. 800-981-9347. That's 800-981-9347.
Extendivite really works. Just listen to what some people have to say.
Several years ago, I was developing a very severe situation. I called it my flippy heart. It was doing not good things. And I did not want to go to a medical doctor because I just knew they would give me a cover-up pill. I didn't want to get onto that sort of thing at all. When I learned it was garlic and cayenne, and cayenne is a healer. It is a wonderful herb. I said, I think I'm onto something here. I'll tell you, I wouldn't be without it. It did wonderful things for me.
Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid. Call now. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Homeowners have much more to worry about than just making their mortgage payment. One of our biggest expenses can be when unexpected repair bills hit us at home. Can you afford to repair or replace your home heating system? What about when your air conditioning stops working this summer, or worse, a major plumbing problem or large appliance that just stops working? Well, with National Home, you can say goodbye to repair bills. That's right. If you own a home, you could stop paying for these costly repairs. Best of all, call now to get your home protected and 1 month of repair coverage for free. Just call 800-887-3022. Simply call our 24/7 repair hotline and pay nothing for covered repairs. Get total protection for your home's major appliances and systems so you have no more costly repair bills. Just call 800-887-3022 and never pay for repairs again. Get your home protected against costly repair bills right now. Call 800-887-3022. That's 800-887-3022. 800-887-3022.
Join us online at BillMartinezLive.com.
Summer has come and passed. The innocent can never last. Wake me up when September ends.
Bill Martinez Live.
Rain
the top of the hour, and we've got the authors and the book that we've been talking about for quite a while here. It has come on the scene, and it has been quite revealing, to say the least. Shattered. Inside Hillary Clinton's Doom Campaign. Jonathan Allen, Amy Parnes are with us. Let me give you a little background on Jonathan. Award-winning political journalist, New York Times bestselling author, the head of community and content at Sidewire, columnist for Roll Call, and an adjunct professor at Northwestern University. Amy covers the White House and the 2016 presidential campaign for Bloomberg News, an award-winning reporter herself. She's also, well, I'm back at Jonathan. Amy, Amy Parnes is the White House correspondent for the Hill newspaper in Washington, where she covers the Obama administration, a 10-year veteran of political journalism. She traveled with the Clinton, Obama, and McCain campaigns while covering the 2008 presidential race for Politico. Amy and Jonathan, welcome to Bill Martinez Live. How are you?
Thanks for having us on.
Well, good to have you here, Amy. This is the second book on Hillary Clinton that you and Jonathan worked together. Did this make it easier for you to get behind the scenes and enjoy some cooperation that many journalists could have only hoped to get?
I think it might have, because we spent so long talking about Clinton World and interviewing people in this vast this vast world of theirs. And so I think in some ways it did make it easier. We definitely found new sources, and we talked to other sources. So I think everything, every little bit helps with a world like Clinton World.
Exactly. Well, Jonathan, how did you approach this? Did you and Amy decide, okay, you're going to cover certain aspects of the campaign and then bring it together, or was it a cohesive project between the two of you?
Our whole approach to this is that we both bring complementary skills to each of the pieces of it, so reporting and writing and going through the editing process. So we do pretty much everything together. There are some interviews where one of us is tied up and the other one does the interview, but we mostly did the interviews together. We write together, and we go through that editing process together. It's a very, very collaborative and cohesive working relationship.
Exactly. Well, Amy, what did you want history to learn and understand about the Clinton campaign?
Well, there's a lot to learn from this, and I think that's why Democrats can pore over it and learn as much as they can right now. But I think basically there are some takeaways from this, including the fact that you can't just have someone be the inevitable candidate just because it feels like their time and because they're the most qualified. I think with Secretary Clinton, for instance, there was the lack of a message, and she never really explained to people why she was running for president. And I think that was problematic for her. And I think why a lot of people who once voted for Barack Obama in 2008 and 2012 actually sided this time around and voted for Donald Trump, because they felt like he had a clearer message and was speaking more to them. And also, he was an outside candidate, and it seemed like this was the year of the outsider, and people really wanted someone with someone who had fresh blood and fresh ideas, and I think that's why he was successful.
Jonathan, you and Amy had said that in some sense you couldn't help but feel sorry for Hillary, and for, you know, I think anybody that has dreams and ambitions and you lose the big game, it's a bit of a heartbreak, isn't it?
It certainly was for her, certainly was for the people around her, and for a lot of people who voted for her. You know, I think in terms of us talking about sympathy, I mean, that's what we're writing about, is sort of the that by the end of this book, I think a lot of readers, whether or not they like her, whether or not they voted for her, will feel some measure of sympathy. That's more of a statement on how we think this story goes. We went, than our own, personal feelings. But we went sort of behind the scenes, from beginning to end of the campaign, and you can't help but, sort of live through the ups and downs. In fact, I was talking to a veteran Republican operative the other day, who said to me that he was reading the book and enjoying it, and found himself rooting for Hillary Clinton at times.
Wow. Yeah.
Even though, you know, he had, you know, he's a longtime Republican and didn't want her to win the election. So, you know, I think it's a book where her humanity bleeds through in ways that I think it didn't always on the campaign trail.
Exactly. Well, Amy, did you find one of the things I discovered as I was reading through the book, it was like the very thing that she wanted to avoid was the very thing that she did. And it was almost like this campaign was a pickup from 2008.
Yeah.
Did you find that to be the case?
Yeah. I mean, in some ways she overlearned. And I think we saw that with, you know, a lot of people are really surprised by the fact that there was infighting in the campaign because, in 2008, it was splashed all over, TV and in the newspapers. It made headlines. This time around, it wasn't, it didn't seem to be there. But as Don and I report in the book, there was a lot of this tension, a lot of infighting, particularly among the top brass of the campaign. And I think in 2008, they kind of, in 2016, rather, they kind of swept things under the rug because they didn't want it to seem like a 2008 campaign. They wanted it to seem like a happier, more seamless campaign. And that wasn't always the case. But I think, yeah, I do think that she, in some ways, kind of replicated the 08 campaign, not on purpose, obviously, but I think she did, as I said before, become the inevitable candidate, and that definitely hurt her.
Exactly. Well, John, it seems like what Amy is suggesting and what also came out in the book was that there was this, you know, kind of an impression of denial. She didn't get the idea. I mean, she kind of got the idea that she didn't have a message, but she was just so convinced that because of who she was competing against, Donald Trump, that, you know, there was no way that she could lose. And I think that everybody else was in denial. And I think that's why they remain in such shock today. Is that fair?
I think it is fair. You know, what we reported and what we, you know, learned from our sources in putting this book together was that the strategy against Donald Trump, and you could see this play out during the campaign, but the strategy in the general election, particularly down the stretch, was to disqualify him in the minds of voters. And the thing is, at some level, they were successful in that. About a fifth of his voters said that they didn't think he was fit to be president. What Hillary Clinton failed to do was convince enough voters in the right places that she was the right person to be president, and that the chance that they would be taking on Donald Trump was greater. You know, or the chance they would be taking on Donald Trump was less of a risk or a threat to them than the idea of electing Hillary Clinton president.
Exactly. Well, we're talking with Jonathan Allen and Amy Parnes. Their new book, Shattered, Inside Hillary Clinton's Doomed Campaign. More from John and Amy on the other side of the break. Stay with us, America.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control of your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problem now by calling the experts at U.S. Tax Shield and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guarantee quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the Better Business Bureau, so call now. 800-536-4436. That's 800-536-4436. U.S. Tax Shield. 800-536-4436.
Are you married? Do you and your husband both have term life insurance? If you both don't, you should. You have a lot to protect. Call now, get a free quote for your husband, and while you're at it, get a quote for yourself too, because you both need term life insurance. Call now. 800-915-9164. 800-915-9164. 800-915-9164. Rates are at all-time lows. We'll shop over 30 top-rated companies to get you the best possible rates. Term life insurance, it's the perfect way to protect the quality of your family's lifestyle. You and your husband both need term life insurance, so call now for a free quote for the both of you. 800-915-9164, 800-915-9164, 800-915-9164.
Lifetime Graze 100% grass-fed beef has the health benefits you seek. When compared to conventional beef, it offers good fats while virtually eliminating the bad. That's the result of cattle who never eat grain, ever. Rich in antioxidants, including vitamin E, C, beta-carotene, and CLA. No artificial hormones, antibiotics, or other drugs. For all our fresh, non-cooked products with only 100% grass-fed beef, go to MidasResources.com. Use voucher code GCN to get 30% off your order. MidasResources.com, or find us on Facebook.
Attention business owners and independent contractors. This is a money-saving message from Tax Mediation Services. If your business owes $20,000 or more in taxes, we can help you today, right now. Listen, dealing with the IRS is no picnic. It's an intimidating and extremely stressful process, and you don't want to go it alone. Our attorneys know every law, every tax break, and every possible opportunity to help you resolve and reduce your tax debt. And if you owe more than $20,000, you may be at the top of their hit list. So don't take your tax debt lightly, because it will not go away on its own. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, your home, and even shut down your business. Call our tax experts today at 1-800-765-9681 and let us deal with the IRS while you focus on your business. That's 1-800-765-9681. Again, that's 800-765-9681.
Do you know what's lurking in your water? More than 200 contaminants could be sitting there, just waiting for your glass. With the ProPure water filter, start enjoying clean and great-tasting water today. ProPure filters, independently tested, latest water filter technology. ProPure systems do not require electricity and are easy to set up and easy to use. To find out more, visit your authorized ProPure dealer or ProPureUSA.com. That's ProPureUSA.com.
Such a thing called the Constitution. Remember? Bill Martinez live.
Welcome back, America. Bill Martinez here. Our conversation with Jonathan Allen continues. Jonathan covered the White House in the 2016 presidential campaign for Bloomberg News. Amy Parnes, the White House correspondent for The Hill newspaper in Washington, covers the Obama administration. She's a 10-year veteran of political journalism. You know, I got to tell you, Jonathan, Amy, as I've been bragging about you and about this book, and I hope it's okay, is that you have brought, you know, a sense of journalism back to the discussion. I think in this era of fake news that we've been living with and having to endure, it's I think it's exemplary to have a book like this that is, you know, truly measures up to everything that I respect about journalism.
Thank you. I think one of the things that John and I did pretty early on was we trusted our instincts as reporters, talked to as many people as we could. And the funny part of this book was that while people were expecting Hillary Clinton to win, and I think we both did going into Election Day, our reporting was telling us something completely different. And so we actually turned the parts of the book into our editor a week before the election, and he was wondering how we were going to square the fact that the campaign was so problematic if Secretary Clinton did in fact win. And it turns out that, you know, all we had to do was basically let our reporting speak for itself, and I think that's what we did.
It definitely makes things a lot easier, doesn't it, John, when your reporting speaks for itself?
Yeah, it seems like a pretty simple rule, and no doubt I've forgotten it at times in my career, but, you know, as Amy said, this time we were pretty dedicated to just making sure we were telling a story. We thought it would be an important story whether she won or lost. And, you know, there were high moments on this campaign for her. She became the first woman ever nominated by a major party for president. She won the primary, which she was not able to do in 2008. And there were, of course, low points, a lot of infighting in the campaign and inability to really articulate why her and why now for president, the whole email server scandal. And then of course, that that for her heartbreaking and shattering election night, which we go through in tremendous detail, the first real TikTok behind the scenes of what was going on in her suite at the Peninsula Hotel in Manhattan, and the calls back and forth between her and Obama, and between her and Donald Trump.
Yeah, it's it was amazing. And you think about all the things that led up to it. You mentioned the emails. Amy, that was the gift to the GOP that just kept on coming. And then you got James Comey coming into play, Loretta Lynch. You've got her own husband, the former president. I mean, it was like it was crazy the way all this stuff was happening to her, right?
Yeah, I mean, the email controversy was something that completely just loomed over her campaign. Even before it started, she was having to answer for it about a month out. And it was something, there was a kind of internal dialogue about what to do about it and whether she should apologize or not. And she and the former president basically thought that, her husband thought that they had done nothing wrong and that there was no need to apologize for it. And meanwhile, you had senior advisors in the campaign basically telling her that she should get out in front of it. And finally she does in early fall in September. And you know, and she still can't quite, even though she finally does that, the whole email controversy looms over her campaign for its entirety. And even toward the end, when James Comey comes out again and says that they're continuing to investigate emails, this narrative basically fed into a larger narrative that the Clintons are untrustworthy and that they would bring baggage with them to the White House. And I think a lot of people in the end just felt like Donald Trump was the better candidate.
Well, John, let me ask you, relevant to this, their likability of both candidates was dubious at best. I mean, you have the TMZ video from Trump, and you've got her emails, and it was almost like who was going to be, you know, liked the best between the two of them, which was, you know, kind of slim pickings between the two, right?
Astounding in retrospect. We only knew half of this at the time, but you had two presidential candidates who were under active FBI investigation during the campaign. And certainly they, both of them did things that really turned off large swaths of the American public. You know, often people joke about voting for the lesser of two evils. I can't remember a time, and not to say that Donald Trump or Hillary Clinton are evil, simply to say, you know, to borrow the phrase there, this is the only time in my lifetime where I remember that, you know, that being a feeling espoused by so much of the electorate.
Mm-hmm. Amy, you went into detail with the different players. I mean, from Robbie Mook and John Podesta, you know, Loretta Lynch, Barack Obama, Uma Abedin, Jennifer Palmieri. I mean, all these players. It just seemed like, in some regard, it was like a committee creating a camel, you know, a camel by committee or something, you know?
Yeah, and a lot of people said, you know, her speeches were speech by committee. I mean, this committee decided even little things like tweets. It took lots of people from advisors and pollsters to basically weigh in on a single tweet. And that was basically the tone of the whole campaign, that it, you know, it took on this very different kind of campaign. And, you know, even at one point, Jon Favreau is brought in to help with a speech with her initial speech, her launch speech at Roosevelt Island, and even he gets frustrated because he's not used to speech by committee. He was used to just working with President Obama and maybe one advisor, and that was frustrating to him. So I think, yeah, there was a lot of frustration about how this came to be, particularly by people who actually worked with her at the State Department and weren't used to lots of cooks in the kitchen, were used to a more personalized kind of interaction. And so I think that was frustrating, definitely.
Well, John, no doubt that Comey, as you mentioned, here he is, two investigations. He has an investigation with her. He kind of, you know, comes on TV and, you know, presents the case, and you go, oh, my goodness, she's going to be indicted. And then he comes to the conclusion, no, he's not going to indict her. And everybody kind of takes a breath. And then on the day that they're getting ready to bring Tim Kaine on stage and announce him as the choice for vice president, you know, they've got another James Comey investigation.
Yes, James Comey was the unindicted co-conspirator of Hillary Clinton's loss, I think, or the unindicting co-conspirator.
Yes.
He really seized the spotlight when Loretta Lynch was forced to essentially recuse herself from making a determination about whether or not to prosecute Secretary Clinton, which, of course, followed her ill-advised tarmac meeting with President Bill Clinton. And you know, it's amazing the degree to which this the fate of Hillary Clinton was put into the hands of Jim Comey, first with the email server in the first place. The fact that she ended up having classified emails outside the classified system meant he had no choice but to investigate. He comes to the conclusion he's not going to prosecute, then does this odd thing where he condemns her publicly despite that, and then continues to be a force, you know, right up until a couple of days before the election. I don't think we've ever seen, you know, an outside force have so much, you know, a non-candidate have so much impact on an American presidential election.
Exactly. Amy, your assessment of Debbie Wasserman Schultz?
Well, she became a problem for the campaign, and as John and I detail in the book, there was an inopportune moment where she's basically at the launch speech for Tim Kaine and his rollout, and that doesn't go so well, and she is the cause of consternation for many of Secretary Clinton's top aides on the campaign. That, you know, the fact that the email hacking is sort of it gets involved, and, you know, she becomes a problem at the actual convention, and on and on, and finally they're able to sort of save the convention after having a disastrous start. But I think it was a constant problem for the campaign.
John, it seems like there was lots of toxicity throughout this campaign, would you say?
Certainly. I think there were, you know, you basically had a Democratic Party that was riven. You had a Democratic establishment that was fully behind Hillary Clinton, a lot of Democratic voters behind her. And at the same time, you had this sort of populist grassroots swell that included people that generally didn't like her to begin with, and then some folks that Bernie Sanders brought into the process. And that was never really resolved. You know, I think Bernie Sanders' message and Donald Trump's message overlapped, and they overlapped in particular in the area of suggesting that Hillary Clinton was corrupt, and certainly both of them sort of pointing to her as a quintessential insider at a time of rising populism and outsider sentiment. That sort of echo effect of the two of them really pinned her into being the status quo.
Mm-hmm. Well, Jonathan Allen, Amy Parnes, thank you so much. Congratulations on the book, available at all the usual places. It'll be featured on our website at BillMartinezLive.com. Shattered Inside Hillary Clinton's Doomed Campaign. Amy, I'm going to let you summarize the final takeaway that you would want the readers to get from this book.
Well, I think it's, as you mentioned earlier, there are so many lessons that people can learn, Democrats and Republicans alike, on how to run a campaign and the best ways, the ways of doing things and of not doing things.
Hi there, I'm Bob Eubanks. You know, as part of Hollywood for a long time, I've seen my fair share of celebrities get in trouble with the IRS. Well, there's one name I trust. The Tax Defense Group. They're the most trusted name in tax. So if you owe more than $10,000 to the IRS, you really need to call my friends at the Tax Defense Group. Ignoring the IRS is not the solution. They can garnish your paycheck, levy your bank accounts, seize your home or business. But the Tax Defense Group could put a stop to all of that and tailor a program that would reduce your tax debt to pennies on the dollar. You gotta love that. So don't just take my word for it. Call them. Find out for yourself. They offer a 100% satisfaction guarantee. And they're open 24 hours a day because they know that tax debt doesn't sleep either.
Call now for your free and confidential tax analysis from the most trusted name in tax. Call 800-361-6907. 800-361-6907.